Yes. Good morning, everyone. I'm trying to get my technology in order here to make sure I can share what I have prepared for this morning. But to start off, I actually want to deviate a little bit from what I prepared, which God often funnily does. It starts speaking to you during the service. Because I saw that we had this little gift bag with us. And there's a little bit of history with this one, because last Thursday at home group, Jenny had brought gifts for everyone who was coming to demonstrate a little bit of God giving us gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. And this one was for Bianca, and she had to leave it behind. But I'm going to give it to you now. And can you just show us what is in the, there's a mug in there. And in a kind of similar way, God is giving us gifts. A mug is a tool to drink something, right? And we all know what a mug is. But if you wouldn't know what a mug is, you wouldn't know how to use it, right? So in this series, All In, where we're now going to look at the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to look more into what the gifts actually are, we're going to basically look, oh, this is a mug. This is what I do with it. This is how I use it. And this is what God has given me. And with a gift as well, you have to unwrap it and start to use it. Otherwise, it just sits there in its little gift bag or in its little box or in its paper, and it doesn't do anything. You have to open it up. You have to start using it. So this is a little thing that God spoke to me during the service. And so I have the privilege to speak this morning about the word of wisdom. And we had a preaching meeting a couple of weeks ago where we were all asked to take like a deep dive into one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and have conversations about that during that evening. And that preparation and those discussions that we had there form the basis of what I'm going to share today. And in this series, we'll see other people preach about other gifts. I know Danny is going to preach, Roy is going to preach about it as well. And this morning, I have divided my preach in kind of five parts, five sections. To beginning with, the right beginning is the starting point, which makes sense to me. And from then on, we go into the differences between general wisdom and the word of wisdom, which is more specific. Then I want to look at the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and how they are similar but not the same, and why it's important or not important to know the difference between them. And fourthly, I will look into Jesus as our example. And lastly, look at application. How are we going to apply this gift? How are we going to use that mug, so to speak? So to get our minds in the right place this morning, I would like to do a small exercise. And it sounds a lot more tedious than it is. It's a mental exercise, so no moving, Jenny. And it's actually just a few small questions to think about. So I'd like you to think a little bit about all the knowledge and understanding that you have at this moment. So just try to wrap your head a little bit around all that you've learned throughout your life, like from tying your shoelaces when you were a little kid, to how to cook maybe, to what you use in your job. That's quite a lot of information. That's quite a lot of skills that you've worked on throughout your life, right? And God is bigger. He knows more than all that. He, has more experience in all of that. And if we take it a step further, if you think about all the knowledge and understanding of all the people in this room, I don't think it would fit in anybody's head. We've got about 30, 40 people in here. I would not know anything about the culture of Hungary, where whereas there are a few experts here in the room. But you know what? God is bigger, and he knows all that. And if we make the scope slightly bigger, maybe more than slightly, if we think of all the knowledge and understanding of all the people alive in this moment, which is about 100 million times more than what we just had, still, God is bigger. All that knowledge, all that understanding, everything, God knows. And just to take it one step further, if we think of all the knowledge and understanding of all the people that have ever lived and will live, still God is bigger. If we start trying to think about how much God knows, everything, how big God is, he is so much more than we can even think of or imagine. And if we talk about what God knows, in theological terms, we speak about God's omniscience. Omni, which means all, and science, which is the, like, you know the word science, is about what you know, what you learn. And God is all-knowing, which just blows our minds. We can't even think of, like, how would that work? All that knowledge, all that understanding, God has it all. And Psalm 147, verse 4 and 5 put it this way. He sets the stars in place, calling them all by their names. How great is our God! There is absolutely nothing his power cannot accomplish, and he has infinite understanding of everything. Wow. Let that sink in for a moment. Infinite understanding of everything. And that's just understanding and like knowledge. But wisdom, which we're going to dive into today a little bit, goes further than just knowledge. Wisdom is applying that knowledge and applying experience to real life situations. And if you want to dive a little bit more yourself into the subject of wisdom, I highly recommend to listen back to a preach that Charles did a couple of months ago. I think it was in March. It is on the website. But he did a really good job explaining more about wisdom. You might remember the drawing on the projection with the man hanging on a tree with a sharp rock. Okay, I guess I'm not the only visual person here. I hear people laugh. So the key thing to take away from that is when the Bible speaks about wisdom, it says that God is the source of it all. And the way we get this wisdom is by something the Bible describes as the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom. It says in Proverbs 9, verse 10. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And that might sound very heavy, the fear of the Lord. With fear, we think of being frightened, of being scared. But it's really a being in awe of how big God is, which is why I did that small exercise, just to get our minds, God is that big. And we can stand in awe. And when we realize how big God is, our actions are going to change because we're going to account for God's bigness, that he is possible to do the impossible. So our actions reflect that. Like when God speaks, we listen and we do what he asks, even if we don't understand, because we do understand that he is higher than what we can think or imagine. So God is the source of all wisdom, be it general everyday wisdom or more specific words of wisdom. So if we look a little bit more into general wisdom and the word of wisdom, in the preach that Charles gave about wisdom, he used a definition by John Piper. And I've kind of took that a little bit apart and sort of formed it into a little bit of an equation. And it goes like this. Factual knowledge plus situational insight plus the necessary resolve is the right outcome. So these three things make for a wise decision which leads to the right outcome, or at least a higher chance that the outcome is right. I mean, we can't always control everything. Lorraine seems to agree with me on that, I'm glad. So this works both ways for the worldly wisdom, this equation, and godly wisdom. But there's a slight difference, because worldly wisdom does not account for a huge chunk of knowledge of God. Because God, in worldly wisdom, God doesn't exist. So you basically remove a whole load of information from that equation, which means your outcomes are going to be different as well. So we need to account for God in our decisions. We need to account for God in the choices that we make. And that's going to change our definition even of what would be the right outcome. So a difference between general wisdom and a word of wisdom is that general wisdom often has like an everyday application. It is something that you can use in your everyday life. But what is then the difference with a word of wisdom? To get into that, I'd like to give you an example from when I was in South Africa and I had a word of wisdom for somebody. We were praying with a group of people that was in the team, the Destiny team that we did back then. And I heard God say to me, grab a chair, go sit on it, and ask that guy to come sit on your lap. And my first reaction was, God, are you serious? That sounds weird. But God was like, no, this, I want you to do this. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I said, grabbed the chair, sat down, and I was like, okay, I'm sorry, but I believe God is asking me to do this. Would you come sit on my lap? And he did. And he started crying. And at that moment, God was almost showing him that he was sitting on the Father's lap. And he was healing something emotionally in him. Something that I didn't even know was necessary. And at that moment, my factual knowledge did not know that there was something going on with that person that needed healing. And my situational insight screamed in my face, basically, don't do this. This is going to embarrass you. This is going to embarrass him. Just don't do it. And I mean, the necessary resolve, I think I was crazy enough to do it anyways. So I'm not sure that if that was any change. But God gave me the word of wisdom and this action that I needed to take for that specific situation to bring about something, a result, a right outcome that I didn't even know was needed. But God worked through it like that. And so a few pointers out of that. A word of wisdom is given by the Holy Spirit, and it adds heavenly perspective. It kind of opens our eyes to see the way God sees a situation. It's like scales falling off your eyes. Oh, that's what you want me to do. And we might not even see the full picture right then, but he gives us a small portion of it. And yeah, it's often for specific situations God will give you a word of wisdom. And it can go against human logic, because I didn't even think it was the right thing to do. Yeah, and what is important though, that even though it can go against logic, it won't go against scripture. Because God will not contradict himself. So if it's for me, this was something weird, but I knew that it was not a sin to have somebody sit on my lap. It was just a bit awkward. So it might go against our normal human norms of how we act with each other, but it didn't go against God. And with all the gifts, we have to act on them in love. That is so important, so important. Because if we do it from another place than love, it will not have the desired effect. So to back up a little bit, when we looked at the equation, we got knowledge in there as well. And the Bible also speaks about a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. And what is the difference, or what is the, basically what is the difference? I don't want to go into it too deeply, because I think Roy is going to preach on the word of knowledge in more detail. But last week Malcolm used an example of a prism, like the little triangle, and then the white light goes in and the different colors of light come out. When he shared it, my first thought went to an album cover for Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. I'm pretty sure a few people here had the same thought, looking at you, Colin. So I took the image of a rainbow, which is basically the same principle. The white light gets diffused into the different colors of light. But if you look at the rainbow, you see that you can't really tell where blue ends and green begins, or where green ends and yellow begins. And that's not just the quality of the image. That's, if you look in a rainbow in real life, you can't really tell where it starts or where it ends. And it's almost the same way with the gift of knowledge and the gift of the word of knowledge and the gift of the word of wisdom. They are closely together, and sometimes they almost mix a little bit together. It's not always a clear distinction. But in the same way that a rainbow just is a display of God's glory and just shows us the multicolored beauty of God, in the same way, all the gifts are like a spectrum of God's glory when they're all used in the church. And yeah, so the gifts are like a spectrum, and they work together. Because sometimes you might get a word of knowledge. For example, somebody gets a word of knowledge that there is somebody with pain in the knee or something like that. Once that is known, the gift of healing can step in and, hey, let's pray for this knee. And healing comes. So they work together. And an example from my own life where this has happened, where actually a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge work together, was it's quite a while ago. I think it's 7 years now. One of my first times at 3CI, and we were praying. There was prayer for young people. I was a bit younger back then, so I was part of the young people. And Roy started praying for me, and he had three words. The first one was that I've had a mentor, and there was something that I hadn't discussed with him that had a big impact. The second word was that I had to take action. And the third word was that I had to be quick. And some of you may have heard this story before, but to give a little bit of context, those three words all hit home. And they seem like very generic words. But that first one, that I've had a mentor and there was something important that I didn't discuss with him, for me, that mentor was Rob Korovar, who will be coming here at the end of the month. And he's been my mentor for years. And the important thing that I hadn't discussed with him was that a year before that, I was deciding what I was going to study. And I decided, basically in a godly way, where I asked God, like, what do you want me to do music teaching to study that. And last minute, I got scared and was like, nah, I can't do that. I'll do chemistry teaching instead. So I had made that switch without speaking to my mentor at that point. I made that switch, did that year, the first year of the course. And that was the moment when that word came for me. And at that moment, I was thinking, okay, I know I've done this year of chemistry now, but what if God really wants me to do music teaching? So that ties in with the second word that I had to take action. I was like, okay, so I need to do something about this and switch studies. So that was quite a big impact. And the third word was that I had to be quick. So this was in the beginning of the summer, beginning of the summer holidays, and as most people know, schools are shut in summer usually. And this university where I was trying to get into to do music teaching was also going to be shut. So when I got back on the Monday, after that Sunday where the word happened, I got back on the Monday. On the Tuesday, I phoned, and they managed to arrange an audition for me, which was crazy because normally that gets arranged months in advance. And they told me, tomorrow you're going to get a call back, which is the last day that anybody will be in the school to arrange any of this. And then we have everything sorted. So that had to be quick. That was such an important part of that word. And that first part, that I had a mentor that I didn't share something with, that's a word of knowledge to me. It's just like a chunk of, like, I know this in your life, and there's no other way that I could have possibly known this. Then you have to take action. I count that as a word of wisdom. But you could argue that it's a word of knowledge as well. It's the line is a little bit blurry there. And that you have to be quick, similar, might be a blurry line. But anyways, I switched courses. I finished my teaching degree, moved here, got married. And to finish off that testimony with something really recent, last week on Friday, I put in an application for a teaching position in a school. After Jenny was like, oh, this has come up again. Can you just apply? And I was like, okay, I've applied for the same job twice. Same teaching job, same school. Never got a reaction. So this Friday, I was like, okay, I'll... sorry, Saturday. Or last Friday. Last Saturday. Wow. Brain. See, but my knowledge and understanding is not... a bit fuzzy, yeah. So last week, I put in the application. And I was like, okay, I'll have to change my answers to the questions a little bit. So in half an hour, I did that and sent it off, thinking, okay, this is probably not going to be anything. And then on Tuesday, I got a phone call. Could you come for an interview on Thursday? So 2 days later, and I was like, let me call my boss if I can change shifts. So I discussed it with Danny, and he was like, okay, just go for it. I was like, okay. So I had the interview on Thursday, and I got called back Thursday afternoon, and they offered me a job. Which is like, it must be completely God, because it's so crazy how quickly that went. But there was a good connection in the interview, and I did not know if I answered any of the questions like in the way that they wanted me. It was my first interview for a teaching position. So it's crazy how God, from that moment already, of that word of wisdom and word of knowledge, has worked all the way through to this. And I mean, the contract isn't signed yet, but I assume everything goes well with that. Yeah, I hope Danny's reference was good. But yeah, it's yeah, that, as well, like, yeah, I want to honor you as well, Danny, with that, because you have been such a blessing in this meantime of finishing my studies whilst being here and looking for a job. And Danny said to me, if they want you to start tomorrow, that's fine, just go for it. That to me says something about his heart. Yeah, that he just deeply cares for the people that he works for and for me, in this sense. Right. So with those words that I got from Roy, I think one of the takeaways that I got from that is it doesn't matter what it's called as long as you answer the Holy Spirit's call. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, it doesn't matter if you can label it word of knowledge or word of wisdom or prophecy. It doesn't matter. Just act on it. And that's been the key in this whole process. Roy got those words and he acted on them. He spoke them to me and I heard those words and I recognized that it was something from God and I acted on them. And that's the only way this works. If we have that relationship with the Holy Spirit and listen to what he tries to say in us and through us. I've lost where I'm on the paper. So if we look in the Bible for examples for a word of wisdom, I think, and more the example of listening to God and acting on it, I mean, the prime example is going to be Jesus, who was our example in how he communicated with his Father and was always obedient to what the Father asked of him, even unto death and his resurrection. He was always obedient, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was, God, if it's possible at all, let it go past, like, let it not happen. But he was obedient. And in the same way that Jesus and the Father communicated like that, we have the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We have God speaking through us through the Holy Spirit. And the dependency that Jesus had on his Father is described in John 5, verse 9. I don't actually have it on there. But it says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And we have our example in Jesus, what he was doing. He healed the sick. He brought redemption. He set people free. Like, that is our prime example. And that is what the Holy Spirit is trying to do through us as well. Save the people out there. Because if we are just a holy huddle, just our, as believers together, consoling each other how bad the world is, that's not gonna bring salvation to the people. We have a mission as well. And the Holy Spirit wants us to step out, wants us to go for it. And an example of a word of wisdom that Jesus did in his time on earth is an example of the fishing boat. It's in the end of John, and it finds place somewhere between his resurrection and the ascension. And basically, Jesus has been resurrected, and he's been appearing here and there to his disciples. But a bunch of the disciples that were fishermen before they met Jesus basically decide, okay, let's just go back to the fishing boat, start fishing, and we'll see what happens. So these guys have been out all night on the fishing boat. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. So in their general wisdom, they know, like, how to fish. But they haven't caught anything all night. And Jesus shows up on the shore, but they don't recognize it's Jesus. And Jesus is saying, hey, guys, put your net on the right side of the boat. So to them, this random person just says, okay, you got to do it like this. Which to me is really funny, because they're professional fishermen. And somebody is just telling them how to do their job. And they don't even know who it is. But they listen. And they do it. And they get so much fish that they haven't seen before. Like, it's crazy the amount of fish that they get. And one of the disciples, I think it's John, is like, that must be Jesus. He recognizes it's Jesus. And they end up having a barbecue on the beach, basically, where Jesus discusses some kingdom stuff with Peter and the other disciples. And it's a really, it's almost a throwback to when he first met the disciples and said to them, you're fishers, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And that same, that word of wisdom, put your nets on the right side of the boat, is like a bigger picture of that when we listen to Jesus, when we listen to the Holy Spirit, that's when the fish come in. That's when the salvation is going to happen. That's when people are going to get saved. And so that word of wisdom was a direction, and it's the right instruction for that specific time to get the right outcome. So we see how Jesus functions in those gifts. But how do we apply them in our own lives? I mean, I shared a little bit with the little gift bag. Like, we have to unwrap the presents. We have to know that we got the present in the first place, and we have to unwrap the presents and start using them. And in last week's preach, I think Malcolm mentioned the Holy Spirit gifts gifts to whoever he wants. So he distributes the gifts to believers. But it also says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, to pursue and desire the gifts. So God is able to give us more than he initially gave. He's able to give us the right thing at the right time. And sometimes we don't even recognize the gifts in ourselves, whereas other people might recognize them. And Danny, I would like to, can you give that testimony for the word of wisdom that Roy gave you? Would you mind sharing that now? Because that's for me, to me, that's an example. This came up in the preaching training. I'll let you share it.
Hello. Yeah, so it was just something that I get to understand that God speaks in different ways. And sometimes all we need to do is just to listen and obey what God is saying. Sometimes it doesn't matter who it is. Could be anyone. Could be our children even. They can say things to us. But all we need is, what is God saying now? And just listen to what God is saying now. So during the training, Roy gave me a word of, wisdom or knowledge, but I was just giving, kind of talking through things, and I said, well, I've struggled with this at work, I'm struggling with this at work. He says, well, you need to take time off during office time. Go for a walk and just pray as you walk, even along the beach, and try that. So I tried that before, it never worked, but I said, well, I'm going to try it. So I did that. And in my line of work, there's so many decisions to be made and so quick. So through that, what Roy said to me, I've managed to overcome a lot of things within a short period of time. And I just go out and just have a walk and just pray. And you could come up refreshed with new ideas. So, yeah, just to obey what God is saying that time and, yeah, see the changes.
Yeah, thanks. So one of the keys for me, that was that Roy did not know that little word, of like go for a walk had such an impact. He didn't know that it was actually a word of wisdom that had such a great outcome for Danny, such breakthrough. Because he might have thought, okay, that's just like general knowledge. Like if you just go for a walk, you might clear your mind a little bit, it's fine. But it did more for Danny than just that. The impact was greater. And Roy didn't realize that that comment that he almost made in passing was actually a word of wisdom. So we have to be aware of each other. And if we recognize something of these gifts in each other, give the person like a little heads up. Hey, I think that might have been a word of wisdom. Or that might have been a word of knowledge. Do you have any experience in that? Or is it something new to you? And you can ask people, what gifts do you see in me? In that scripture in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And so besides the gifts that he has already given us, whether or not we know that we have them, we can't pursue these gifts. If you have a passion like for healing, you want to see people get healed, ask God for the gift of healing. And press in, pursue. And step out every opportunity you have. If there's going to be prayer for people with healing, just run to the front, can I help pray? Let that passion be a pursuit of those gifts. And I kind of want to go into a little bit of a practical idea, if that's all right with you, Reg. And I would like everyone to think of a situation that you could use a word of wisdom in right now. So it can be something that you struggle with. It can be a specific situation that you don't know what course of action to take. It can be something really simple. But try to think of something, okay, I need God's perspective on this. I need a little bit of God's information. I need a little bit of more of God in this. And I would like for us to gather into groups of like 3 or 4 and start praying for each other, but not to share too much of what you want prayer for, but trust God to give you a word that is applicable for that person. Can we do that?